Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to go out for our first guest of the day on the Newsmaker line, and we bring in Greg Rosenthal. Of course, Greg is the host of the Must Listen Around the NFL podcast. You can also read him on NFL.com. Follow him on Twitter at Greg with two G's at the end, Rosenthal, at Greg Rosenthal, and Greg joins us now. Greg, thanks for being with us here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hey, not much. We're just going over the Raiders injury report, which is a long one with a lot of name, a lot of familiar names on it. But Greg, I was reading NFL.com yesterday. I saw your post and your story up there about kind of the panic button for some of the NFL teams as we approach this time of the year. You know, this is the time of the year we talk about here when teams got to put on their big boy pants and make the push for the playoffs. The Raiders lay an egg in Atlanta, a big one, to move to 6-5. You had them ranked at number 4 as far as teams that might be looking and might be like, we're getting a little worried here about playoff time. If you're a part in Raider Nation and you're a fan of this team, what should you be most worried about after you, what you saw last week?
I would say the offensive line, which has been to me the key to the entire team. If it's not right, and it wasn't last week, and injuries were definitely a part of that, then you worry about them long term. I personally am not as worried as maybe Raiders fans would be. I think their offense has shown enough in the 10 games previous that we can rely on them. But to me, that's sort of the X factor. If they aren't playing at that high level, which they've really done a great job doing despite injuries, then things could really start collapsing.
Greg, I've been kind of saying, I think Scott's in agreement with me, that if you're the Raiders and you're a Raider fan, you're looking at 10 wins. That's got to be your target. You got to get to 10 wins to get in. 10 and you're in.
I think that's possible, but it might matter where those 10 come from. Mm-hmm. Now, if you tell me they get it by beating the Chargers, the Jets, and either the Colts or the Dolphins, you might lose a tiebreaker, or you might actually get pushed out. There's even with 7 teams make it in the AFC, it is very competitive. It's pretty rare that you see so many teams up there at 8-3 and 7-4. So I think 10 is the minimum. They got no chance at 9. It means they have to win 4 of their 5. But those 2 games against the Colts and the Dolphins, to me, count double. If they win both of those, they are going to be in great, great shape, and then 10 should be plenty to get in.
Greg Rosenthal, of course, who hosts the Around the NFL podcast, joins us now talking about the Raiders and a playoff push. And I want to get your perspective on this, Greg, since you cover the entire league. And in your story, you mentioned, too, Derek Carr had his first really bad day of the season, 4 turnovers. It was really just a nightmare for him. But overall, having a very, very good season, a bounce-back year in most of our eyes. He's been so efficient. He's been so good. You've seen a more alpha leader on the field and off the field for the Raiders. What's sort of the view? Has some of the minds around the NFL that you talk to, has the view on Derek Carr leading a team and leading them into the playoffs changed?
A little bit. I think so. I think everyone is really impressed with what Gruden and Carr have done together. This is kind of what you would hope to see in a third year in an offense, and it is what you're seeing. The number one thing I think everyone, including myself, has been impressed at is the aggressiveness, the willingness to take shots when they need to. Sometimes even his interceptions haven't been the worst plays. I'm thinking of that 3rd-and-1 in the first Chiefs game where he took a shot down the field. The way he uses his legs, he's so physically gifted. I think that's what frustrates scouts and some players, or some people around the league watching in previous years, is you want to see it. You don't want to see him playing like a game manager. You want to see him use his physical gifts. You've definitely seen that, and he's grown up as you would expect mentally, where he is really all over this offense. And again, a 5 turnover day is a huge problem for them, and the fumbles have been fairly consistent for Carr, but for the most part, like, that one game is not freaking me out too much about his season.
One guy that has impressed me this season for the Raiders has been Nelson Aguilar, and he obviously was with Philadelphia before and kind of left there on a sour note. What have you thought about Nelson's his 1 year so far with the Raiders?
It's awesome, and you know what? He's helped me make a point that I've tried to say about the Raiders a few times this year and their coaching staff, that I give coaches a lot of credit when they take other players from different organizations and they look better in your uniform. And so I think that's the case with Devontae Booker. Looks better in a Raiders uniform. You're getting more out of Nelson Agholor than the Eagles ever did, and he was a first-round pick. You even see that like a little bit on the defensive side with Kwiatkowski's playing fantastic, Eric Harris. You know, I like the way that they've been able to fit these veterans in. It's not the most talented team in the league, but it is certainly a lot more talented, I think, than the one Gruden inherited back in 2018.
Greg Rosenthal from the Around the NFL podcast joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at Greg, G-R-E-G-G, two G's at the end, Rosenthal. Good follow always, and of course, the podcast a must-subscribe to. Let me ask you again on the defensive side of the ball, Greg. You look at a guy, fourth-round draft pick, Max Crosby, has a breakout year as a rookie. He struggled this year along with the rest of the Raiders' defensive line. They've been really unable to consistently rush the passer. When you see what he's been able to do, is that just him getting more attention, or has there been a fall off versus last year?
He's such a high effort guy. Some of those sacks he got last year weren't like, you know, beating the tackle cleanly right off the bat. It might have to do with some tougher matchups. You're still getting that effort. He's, you know, been attacked a little bit in the running game. You certainly saw that in the Chiefs game. I think Raiders fans realized, hey, it's nice to have Cleveland Furl out there. Even if he's not always getting sacks, like he can stop the run, he can set the edge. So I think that's what's come about with Crosby. You're almost asking too much of a guy like him to be your prime pass rusher. The defensive line was my number one concern for this team going into the year, and I would say it is the number one concern right now, and it does make you feel like they're capped in the playoffs might be a little limited because, man, it's just tough to win multiple playoff games without much of a pass rush, and it is hard for this team to rush the passer.
And sticking with that theme, I know that Rob Marinelli, the defensive line coach, he's well-respected across the league, but how about Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator for the Raiders? What is the overall feeling on Gunther and even Marinelli this year because, like you said, that defensive line is struggling?
I think... You know, you wanted to see improvement, and you weren't seeing it at all in the first 5 or 6 weeks. They play hard. I don't think that's the problem. I like some of the players in the secondary. It's too bad Arnett got hurt. I like him. I like Mullen. But they weren't getting it done. Maybe I'm crazy. You guys tell me differently. I think they've played better, actually, the last 5 weeks or so. If they can trend up and just get closer to average, that's kind of what you're looking for because this is an offense-first team.
Yeah, and I agree with you, too. I mean, even in the Chiefs game where they didn't really get a lot, the second Chiefs game, they didn't get a lot of pressure up front again, too. It's Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, and they were just running up and down the field, and they were overmatched. It's simple as that. And, Greg, when we look at the rest of the AFC, though, too, of course, you have the Chiefs, you have the Steelers at the top, and the rest of the field, especially as you get down below into where we're talking about with the Browns and the Bills and all these teams, the Dolphins, when you look at this and who's going to emerge and become sort of a team who could maybe even have a shot at challenging the Chiefs or Steelers, who sticks out to you as maybe the team built best right now to make a run in the playoffs?
I think it has to be Tennessee, you know, and I put them in that second tier because they haven't been consistent defensively, but they're just so physical. The way that they closed their season last year reminded me a little bit of the Patriots, where they figure things out and they're better at the end of the season. You've seen a little bit of that their last 2 weeks. I think have probably been their best two games of the year against Baltimore and against Indianapolis. And Tannehill's like consistently underrated. I mean, he's not like a top three quarterback, but man, he gets the job done. He's tough. And I think that's the team if you're Kansas City, or if you're Pittsburgh, or even if you're a Raiders fan and want to see one of those two teams get knocked off early in the playoffs, I feel like Tennessee could beat anyone on any given day.
What are your thoughts? You mentioned the Dolphins earlier, and I like what Brian Flores has going on there in Miami, whether it's Tua behind center or Fitzpatrick. What has been your thoughts on what Flores has been able to do with Miami in year two?
I can't believe it. I mean, he's my coach of the year right now because yeah. I came into the year thinking if you just looked at their roster, they would be in the bottom four or five teams again. And I thought it'd be really hard with a tougher schedule that they have to match the 5 or 6 wins they had last year. They've already topped it. And, man, they just give quarterbacks a lot of problems. And it's because the defense is so cohesive. And so that's an example to me of it's not all about talent and that it's not all about you need 4 years to get your system here. And They're in their second system. They don't blow you away with their talent. They don't have any like premier pass rushers. but they just play cohesive. They give you a lot of different problems, and they make the most out of what they do offensively. And that's enough to go win 10 games. I'll be fascinated. That Dolphins-Raiders game, the Dolphins have a couple really exciting games down the stretch. That they're kind of a team I really enjoy watching every week because the coaching staff is so good.
Yeah, I agree with you on Flores as Coach of the Year. Just amazing job that he's been able to do and turn around something very quickly with a roster that still has a long way to go. Greg, before I let you go, we've been asking guests about kind of their look, with all the COVID-19 stuff going on in the league, and we've seen obviously the schedule changes now. We're getting towards the end here, week 13. Do you see that the NFL, that with all that's going on, even though they're doing their best to try to mitigate it, do you see a week 18 becoming a reality?
I would guess no, just because it hasn't happened yet. But I think the NFL released some numbers today of cases in the league, and I did some math, and about 35-40% of all the cases that they've had since August 1st have been in the last 2 weeks. Now that mirrors pretty similar trends in the rest of the country, and it's just an example. The NFL is really not exempt from what's happening. If that continued, if that rate of increase that they're getting about 75 positives a week right now, or if you combine the personnel and the players, a lot of it is team personnel, man, it's just going to be more and more challenging each week to avoid that week 18. But man, they're trying to avoid it, and they've done it so far.
Greg Rosenthal, host of the Around the NFL podcast. Make sure you get it wherever you get your podcast. It's one you have to subscribe to. Follow him on Twitter at Greg, G-R-E-G-G, Rosenthal. And we certainly appreciate you being so generous with your time today, Greg. Thanks again.
Appreciate you guys. See ya.
All right. There you go. Greg Rosenthal. Interesting
good stuff.
Yeah, as always. And it's always, we've gotten a lot of folks from outside Raider Nation to come on this week, some national guests, which I think is always, we always mix them in, Q, but this week I really wanted to get a sense for, because after the last 2 weeks with the Raiders, we have a sense for, we hear from the fans what they think about where this team is and where they can go and what they need to do to make the playoffs. But to get that outside perspective from people who cover the league overall more deeply than we do, I thought was important.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the best case scenario, I think, just to get the big outside picture. Now, sometimes there's certain guys you want to go to, like you want to go to a Vinny, you want to go to a Scott Goldbranson, a guy who's there at the practice for certain specific things. But at the same time, you also, you want to get that outside perspective and see what, the national landscape is and kind of look beyond the silver and black and just look at the whole NFL in general. And I really enjoy covering the whole league, man, just because I think the more that you know about the rest of the league, the better, and you can kind of compare and contrast where the Raiders are compared to other teams across the league.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, we'll continue on this show coming up at the top of the hour. Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports will be with us. He actually wrote something about the Carson Wentz of the Eagles and Derek Carr.
He stinks. I think Cody's an Eagle fan too.
He is. He is. He's from Philly. He's from Philly. He doesn't live there anymore, but he's from Philly, and he wrote this piece kind of comparing them, and it's really interesting. He didn't compare them to make it look like Carr's a bad quarterback like Carson Wentz is currently, but a really interesting perspective, and I want to talk to him about that and what it goes. And then Connor Hughes, we're going to, as we start to look into the Jets, the Raiders' opponent this week, he'll be with us at 3:20 as well. 702-365-9200 is the number. We're asking how you feel about the Raiders at this point as they head into this Jets game with a really long list. Coaches tend to embellish. So when Gruden said earlier, when the list comes out, you'll see how long it is. I was thinking, well, it'll be normal. But the names on that list are definitely concerning. And, not into the point yet where you're really worried that some of these guys won't play like Jonathan Abram, but we'll certainly find out from Vinny what he knows later on as well. So we'll roll along here on the show. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's going to be time for the Q-tip. We're doing a little bit earlier today, so we'll see what Q's got in store for those ear holes. You're on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.